Good morning. You're live on the radio. Is this Cody Bass from the closed session guy?
This is me, fresh out of the session.
Are these closed sessions? They're not secrets that we should know about, are they? Or just
no. So close. I mean, you know, actually, most of the what comes out of closed session ends up getting publicized. But there's three things we'll meet on in closed session. It's labor negotiations. Litigation, like lawsuits, and then also real estate negotiations. And they do that because, you know, in negotiation, obviously you don't want all the negotiations to be public. Oh. But they will become public once we're, you know, once we finalize them. Same kind of thing with the results of lawsuits and that kind of thing. So it's really the only time we don't meet in the public's view.
Yeah, looking back, I wish my marriage to Nancy was a closed session. That was...
Oh, yeah, nice. That might be like an agreement you could make in the marriage certificate. You know?
I know. I'm getting a lot of mileage. You know, Gordon Lightfoot, a great singer-songwriter from Canada, passed away yesterday. So I've been playing a lot of his great songs, man. And I was inspired when I started playing some of his songs, like Beautiful. A lot of folks started messaging me saying, hey, man, that song was played at our wedding, you know, I just posted a, yeah, mine was the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, so I don't, nobody got out alive on that voyage, so, you know,
you're nice.
I was like, hey, you know what, I've been getting a lot of cool messages from people from different parts around the country after I posted about your expansion and that, we're talking some small towns that don't have accessibility to maybe, you know, a cannabis dispensary unless they go to a big city. And even then, not all the states are on board yet, right? Is it still under half are actually allow recreational marijuana?
Yeah, it is definitely still under half. Now, we've got over half on the medical side. You know, I think it's 29, and I believe it's 21. I have to go count right now. It's getting close to half. But then we had, you know, Oklahoma fail recently. We've had a few states that have gone to the vote on the adult use, and they haven't passed. But a lot of that comes down to the law that's being written. There is a lot of effort to not continue to write laws similar to California that really allow the corporate cannabis to kind of thrive much harder than the small business. And the other component that's really weighing heavy is this equity component, to where not just people with money are the people that get to have a play in the cannabis licensing. And so there's been a lot of, you know, California, in a lot of ways, there's been a lot of learning. And, you know, from our perspective, when we began this 14 years ago, it was about activism and advocacy. And it wasn't about money. It was about that you were willing to take a risk for 20 years in federal prison to try to change the law and create a movement. But then in 2018, when licensing happened and a new law got passed, the only way you could become a part of it is if you literally had millions of dollars, had the right political connections, had the, you know, played the, and they gave local control to every city throughout California, which created a whole nother layer of challenges for people to try to become licensed. And so as states have come forward and proposed those kind of laws to the people have started to realize that's not what we want. We want this to benefit a much broader group of people and also not take it away from so many people, which is what California effectively right now is doing, you know, has done with Prop 64. And hopefully we'll see some, you know, change at the state level or possibly an entirely new statewide voter initiative, which I'm working on with a group of people. We'd like to see an initiative based on cannabis economics, because the law currently in California has really hindered a lot of economic opportunity that should be, that should exist, and including things that were really not relevant in 2018. Like, we need to get set up for global trade so that we can be ready when federal legalization happens, to be able to trade with all the countries throughout the world. Currently, right now, with our current state law, you wouldn't even really be able to do the transaction the way that they have written the law to be able to trade. So we need to do some things, and as much as I want to, you know, rely on Sacramento a lot of times can move so slow, and there's so many, you know, bureaucratic issues that happen in the ways of the law, and I don't know that we'll get there with them. So we may end up back at the vote of the people, which is quite an effort, but one that would be well worth it.
I think that's one reason why there's been such a mass exodus from California is because of these laws around cannabis. Over 650,000 people have left just in the last year alone. That's got to be part of the reason.
Yeah. I mean, you know, honestly, there is a lot of people in the northern communities. I'm talking thousands of people that have lost their way of life.
Taxes, man.
For decades, yeah. They're doing that, you know, and sure, it's like some of them didn't, you know, go through, but a lot of it wasn't possible for many of them. And so, yeah, there is, I mean, it is a small portion, I would imagine, of that 650, but there is definitely an exodus of cannabis. I mean, tons of people have left this state that had even pretty good companies and said, you know what, I'm going to go and set up in New York, or I'm going to go set up in Michigan or Illinois, because California just made it too difficult to even exist.
It is. So. Well, on a positive note, by the way, I have to let you know, and I'll message you later and just to remind you, but I'm leaving for New Orleans on Friday, and I'll be back on Optimistic Tuesday on May 16th on the air if American Airlines doesn't make me wait 3 days to get a connecting flight. So I'll just remind you. I got reminding all my guests that I'll be gone just for almost, I don't know, about 10 days pretty much. But I want to, just so you know, you'll remember that, I'm sure.
I'll remember, really? Definitely. But that's great. New Orleans, man. That's like... Well, definitely one of my favorite cities in this country and even the world. New Orleans is just amazing. I mean, what a good place.
Yeah, it'll be my first time. I can't wait. Hey, so talk about the expansion. What are some of the things? I mean, first off, congratulations, belated, for the, you know, your 14th anniversary being in business. But now, when I got a tour on 420 of the expansion, what's going to go in that expanded facility that you already didn't have in your other place, unless this will be a continuation of it?
Well, yeah. I mean, so essentially we've got the new space that's, you know, where that's right on the corner. And for whoever hasn't come in, please come see it. It's a really great new space and has a different concept with retail. But where our original dispensary was, which is just, you know, we still have the same front desk. You still come in through the same front door.
Right.
But once we get through the approval and a small remodel, we are going to bring back consumption. And consumption is such a big part of cannabis culture in a lot of ways. I mean, of course, that's how we, you know, use the cannabis that we have. But creating a consumption lounge here in town is really a benefit to so many people that, you know, need a safe space where they don't have to worry that they're not, you know, disturbing anybody, whether they're staying in a hotel, whether they've got kids at home and don't want to smoke in their family house or around their kids, whether that, you know, they're on vacation and just need a good place to get away. And it also adds a very social aspect around cannabis that I think is really important for us to change in society. Like, instead of always just having to go meet your friends at the bar for a beer, if you can meet your friends in a place to consume cannabis together, it's a much better energy and allows people to come together. So that's our plan, and I really hope that we'll get through kind of the hurdles we have to get there, but I have faith that we will. And yeah, that'll be such a great day. That's when we're actually going to do our full kind of grand opening. We're basically in like a soft opening phase right now. But when we do open the consumption lounge, we'll be having a big party, and you'll be the MC, and we'll make it we'll make it a good time.
Yeah, I want to. I'd like to have some participation in that, if it's okay. You know, unless you are.
Of course, it's okay. But, of course, we wouldn't have it any other way.
No, I'm just saying. Hey, so anything as far as like specials that coincide with not just your anniversary, but the new growth that you guys have had there to kind of celebrate in a soft kind of way?
Yeah. We've got like buy one, get one free on all of our house products, and we actually still have a ton of 420 specials that are kind of still in effect. So, there is a huge like page of specials that are still there from 420. So, yeah, it's a good time to come to TWC, see our new spot, and get some good deals.
Okay, that's hilarious, because I love the fact that after Valentine's Day, there's always they have, you know, all those cards that nobody bought. There's like a discount on those, especially after Halloween. Halloween candy in November is real cheap to buy. And after Christmas, they have all the sales. I never thought of a post 420 sale. Hey, you didn't buy your weed on 420? I know it's like 5-2 right now, but you can get a discount on 420 by buying it on 5-2 today.
Exactly. No, keep it going, and yep, keep the holiday spirit up. You know,
keep the holiday spirit. Hey, is for those? I'm just curious. For those states that still haven't passed, I know it's for recreational use, medicinal. Yeah, I wonder what's holding them up. I bet politics obviously is a big part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is politics. I mean, the thing that I think takes, you know, like Texas, for instance, right. You have every, if you ever look at a map of Texas and the counties, it is literally, you know, like 400 little squares. So their House of Representatives are these all from these different counties, and you cannot get a law through them, like a cannabis law, because of how intense they are around, the very Republican, and then they don't have a voter initiative process. So the Republic of Texas didn't write a voter initiative. So the only way to get a law is through that House of Representatives. And maybe that could take a very long time in a place like Texas. However, they do have medical, they've recognized medical, but very stringent law. But that's at least something. So, Howie, I got to cut it short today just because 9 o'clock, we're starting this public meeting and I got to jump in there. They're probably waiting on me. I'm hiding in the little break room now.
Wow, to go from closed session to public. Man, you're so binary, man.
Yeah.
Hey, well, head off to your meeting. Say hi to Joe and we'll chat. I'll be in touch with you. Because I'll be in New Orleans. So,
New Orleans.
Yeah.
Have a good one in New Orleans.
Thanks,
man.
Buddy.
Check out the KSL bar.
All right, I will. Definitely. All right.
All right.
Later.
Awesome. All right. Bye-bye.